Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you.
Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending, we're delighted that you've chosen to be with us this morning. And those of us who are here week in and week out, when we see someone we don't know, we're going to approach you and shake your hand and welcome you, and we hope that you will make a home here with us. We are very pleased that all of you are here this morning. One way to make a home here is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of opportunities listed in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up a couple of things here. Since 2007, West End has partnered with ODIM. That stands for the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya in Guatemala. We've sent mission teams down there for the past 3 years. And this morning, as part of our worship, the founder of that group, Joanna Dwyer, will be doing our children's time, and the new executive director, Jeff Hassel, will be reading scripture for us. You'll get to meet both of them. And if you would like to learn more about ODIM, its educational, construction, or medical programs, they will be available in Reed Hall after this service. They would be delighted to tell you more about this wonderful work. And I hope you will take an opportunity to talk with them before you leave today. Also, we have room in the inn sign-ups. You'll notice the board is still out there, and we welcome you to find an open slot and to put your name in there. I was asked to mention that since we host folks on Wednesday evening, both Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are on Wednesday evenings this year. So if anyone feels a special mission toward those particular days, I imagine those slots are open. There is a love that is larger than the universe, a love that moves the sun and all the stars. And that very love is present with us here this morning.
Our souls are made for Rejoice, people of God. Celebrate the life within you and Christ's presence in your midst. Rejoice, people of God. Bow your heads before the one who is our wisdom and strength.
We place ourselves before this God, that we may be touched and cleansed by the power of God's Spirit.
Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors. Gracious God, we have sought after things, but we have not sought after you. We have expected generosity, but we have not shown generosity. We have not been gracious or grateful. We have failed to remember all that you have done. Forgive us and fill our hearts with gratitude. Help us to share our gifts, trusting that you will multiply them to the glory of your kingdom. People of God, our sins are forgiven. We are reconciled to God. Let us therefore love one another with gratitude in our hearts. One of the great joys of the church is baptism of children. This morning, Erica Cruz Garrison and David Wilson Garrison bring their son, Henry Robert Garrison, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without a price. So, Dave and Erica, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Do you, and will you, nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as the body of Christ, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and the child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay, here we go. Here we go. What name is given this child?
Henry Robert.
Henry Robert, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can lay hands on him if you want to. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Here you go. There. Come on. I'll take the water.
Sure. Will the congregation please stand and face Henry Robert? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Henry Robert to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you,
Henry Robert,
and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together,
participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in all things
God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
It was about 10 years ago that I was here as a missionary from the United Methodist Church in Lithuania. You as a congregation supported the church in Lithuania, and I came here to say, Ačiū labai, which means thank you very much. Today I'm now a missionary in Guatemala. Your church continues to support that work there, and so I'm here to say, muchas gracias, for all of your help and for your commitment to mission around the world. Let us pray together. The prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you will shine like stars in the world. It is by holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come and join us, you're welcome to do so. Ordinarily, you're used to hearing me tell a story from this chair, but today I want to make an introduction. My friend Joanna Dwyer. Joanna lives and ministers in Guatemala, and she's going to tell you a little bit about what she does there. But this stole, this pretty green stole, is something that my daughter Sarah, when she went on a mission trip to Guatemala, brought back for me. And so it's very special to me in a lot of ways. So Joanna now is going to tell you a little bit about what she does.
I don't think, is that, there it is. The way that you say good morning where I live is buenos dias. You say that? Buenos dias. Very good. And another way that you say good morning is sacarí. Very good. So where I live, the children don't speak English, and they don't speak Spanish, or at least a lot of them don't, but they speak a language called Zutuhil. Zutuhil, very good. And I live in a country called Guatemala. And in Guatemala, I've lived there for a long, long time. And in Guatemala, our ministry is that we have a clinic. And what's a clinic all about? Why do people go to a clinic? To get well, exactly. And another thing, we have two clinics now. And another thing that we do is we help children like you go to school. Because some of the children where I live are very, very poor, and they don't have any money to go to school. And so we have scholarships for them so that they can go to school. And we also have classes to help them with their schoolwork, because a lot of times their mothers and daddies and grandparents don't know how to read and write, and so they need some help. So we help them with that also. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about something that you have at your house. So tell me what you have in your room. What do you have? What do you have in your house? Lots of games? With Legos. Okay, your brother has Legos and you have lots of games in your house. Does somebody else have lots of games in your house? Okay, everybody, I think. Well, in Guatemala, where I live, the children don't have games in their house. So their life is a little bit different than yours. But what I know and what everybody here this morning knows is that people in different parts of the world are different on the outside, but they're not different on the inside, because we have different color hair. You know, some people here have blonde hair. You have blonde hair. I have white hair. You have brown hair. Does anybody have black hair? You do. Okay. You have brown. Okay. So we have different color hair, and sometimes we have different color skin. You have red hair. Is it red? Yeah, it's very pretty. And so where I live, the children all have black hair, and they have brown eyes, and they have brown skin. But you know what? We're all alike on the inside. And I have a gift for you this morning, and this is, you can either wear it on your wrist as a bracelet, or if you can't wear it on your wrist, you can put it in a book, and that'll be your bookmark. And this comes from Guatemala, and it has all these different colors, just like people. But they're the same on the inside. And God loves all of us. God loves all the children and all the people in the world, whatever color they are, whatever color their skin or their hair, because we're all the same on the inside. So do you want to help me pass out the? Do you want to help? Okay. So let people, let them choose what color they want, okay? Okay, so you all want to get one of those. Just take one so everybody can have one. And then we're going to say a prayer together, okay? Okay, let's say a prayer together. And I'm going to say some words. And then you, did everybody get one? Then I want you to repeat after me, okay? Your mama may have to help you put it on. Okay, are we ready? Okay, everybody has one, right? Okay. Extras, okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's say a prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. And you repeat after me, okay? Dear God, thank you very much for loving all the children in the world. Amen.
Thank you, Joanna. And if you adults would like to know more about what goes on at ODIM, Joanna and Jeff will be available in Reed Hall following this service, so you can learn more as well. Last week, Nancy did a wonderful job of leading you through the first part of this chapter 2 of Philippians. I bet for a lot of you, the words "me too" will never have the same meaning again. And she ended up with the final portion of that particular section, which is a hymn, which is a song. It's a beautiful song about how Jesus did not see equality with God as a thing to be held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. The word is slave. But then God lifting Jesus up, and in the final lines it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's everyone on the earth, under the earth. Now to us it sounds like a beautiful hymn, and it is. But those last two lines turn it into something else. You see, Philippi was primarily a Roman settlement. Most of the people there were Roman citizens. Most of the people there were Gentiles. Paul had helped to start this congregation, was very proud that they were continuing to do what he had taught them to do. But when they heard every knee shall bow, the emperor's knee as well? I don't think so. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? No, Caesar is Lord. And after a few years, that would become the determining factor in whether Christians lived or died. Were they willing to say that Caesar was Lord, or were they going to hold with the confession that Jesus is Lord? So all of a sudden, this beautiful little hymn becomes a revolutionary document. To say that the emperor's knee would bow to Jesus and that the emperor would confess that Jesus is Lord is the equivalent of sedition. So, was Paul starting a revolutionary movement? No. He doesn't call people to overthrow the government. He doesn't call people to take violent action of any kind. How does he expect this change to take place? Well, first of all, God's initiating it. But the crazy thing is, he says to the Philippians, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. You're showing the light of the love of Christ to all you meet, and you don't argue, and you're not contentious. You don't put others down. You consider others more highly than yourself. Just keep doing what you're doing. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling is the traditional translation. But what we miss there is that it's not just up to us to work out. God is at work in and through us working this out, and we're partners. We are working with God. Eugene Peterson, who a number of years ago did a paraphrase, although the paraphrase was based on the original languages, of the entire Bible called The Message, I think gets it right. He says, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsible obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God willing and working at what will give God the most pleasure. So this revolution is going to take place because God is working through the simple everyday events of the lives of the Philippians as they attempt to imitate Christ, to empty themselves, to take the form of a servant. The interesting thing to me is that Paul could not imagine that we would be sitting here 20 centuries later talking about this text. He was expecting this to happen at any moment, before the day was out. At any time, God would be at work in and through these communities and bring history to a culmination. Well, here we are 20 centuries later. We're still talking about these texts, and we are still being encouraged to do exactly the same thing. For our congregation, we say to be the loving light of Christ, connecting others to each other and to God so that God can transform all of our lives and our communities. That's how we describe it in our language. But it's essentially what Paul was telling the Philippians. It's interesting that this quiet, peaceful, totally nonviolent approach to transforming the world was Paul's primary approach. He didn't set up a group of terrorists. He didn't set up an army of any kind. He simply said, if you do what you're supposed to do over the years, God will work in and through you. You know, occasionally, and it seems to happen especially around Lent and Easter, a book will be published or an archaeological find will be discovered, and it will kind of create conversation among Christians. I remember as early as the 1960s, a book called The Passover Plot. How many of you remember The Passover Plot? I see a few hands. Yeah. A few years later, it was The Da Vinci Code. I bet more of you would raise your hands for The Da Vinci Code, wouldn't you? And people get very exercised over this. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? These people are being led astray. And when folks come to me and ask me that, I say, we're just going to keep doing what we always do. We're going to keep telling the same story we tell year in and year out of God at work through a human being, through Jesus Christ, in order to transform our lives and our communities. That's what we're going to do. Because these sensational books and discoveries come and go. Do you see how a few hands went up for The Passover Plot? One of these days, the same will be true for The Da Vinci Code. The same will be true for all these other publications that we get so excited about. And you know what? We'll continue to tell the story. We will continue to attempt in our own frail and limited way to live out the love of God and the light of God. I love the image that Paul chooses. He says, you are stars in this world, which is broken, which is hurting, which for many people is very dark, and it's hard, like the night, to find their way around. But you are stars. Now, in our time, stars, the word stars, tends to get connected with movie stars, right? Tends to get connected with football stars and other sports stars. These are not always the best role models and examples, are they? He's talking about our imagining the literal stars shining in the night. He said, in this world, you all will be the points of light that people see, by which they can navigate their way toward God or back to God if they have lost their way. Barbara Brown Taylor, I mentioned this book a couple of weeks ago, has a new book called Finding Your Way In, is that right? Learning to Walk in the Dark. That's what it's called. It's a good thing I have it with me. And she has a wonderful description here that I want to share with you. All light is late, wrote the poet Lee Young Lee, reminding me how long it takes for starlight to reach my eyes. When I watch a star fall, I'm watching a funeral that took place a long, long time ago. Stars are light years away. Galaxies are millions of times that far away. Chet Ramo, who is to astronomy what Lee Young Lee is to poetry, tells me that if I could find quasar 3C273, that may mean something to you all. It means little to me, but it's a star. In my backyard telescope, I would be looking at a point of light that started heading my way more than 1.5 billion years ago. Isn't it remarkable that stars whose physical presence have been extinguished continue to give light? We continue to receive their light. You know, over the next few weeks, you're going to be hearing a lot about the Legacy Campaign. And in the Legacy Campaign, we're going to be talking about the history of this church and the people who have been stars, who have been points of light shining. And some of those people are no longer with us physically, but like those stars, their light still comes to us. Their light still informs us and helps to lead and guide us. And you're going to be encouraged to take part in this campaign, which is about raising money, but it's much, much more than about that. It's about learning how we too can be those stars, those shining points of life for those in the future, so that they might find their way to God as well. Seems to me that sometimes that light comes from people who put words together in a certain way on a page. For others, it's a voice on a recording of some sort, and we hear that voice, and it brings that person back to us, even though they may be long gone from this earth. Or a video recording. We have some video recordings, and some of the folks who are recorded there, I have assisted in their services of death and resurrection, and yet their light still shines. This building as a gift, this place where we gather to learn what it is we're called to do in order to share the loving light of Christ, that too is a star that comes to us, that we inherit. And so we're called also to be those stars, offering light to future generations. The folks who have gone to ODIM come back and tell me about what they've experienced. The people who are stars to them, points of light to them, but also they have become stars to the people they have come to know down there. This morning in the Tennessean, I just happened to glance at the front page, and it stopped me so that I read the article on the front page. I was actually intending to end this sermon a little differently, but the Tennessean convinced me to do otherwise, as interesting as that may be. On the front page is a story about Pulaski, Tennessee. If I say Pulaski, Tennessee, I will guarantee you most of you will know at least one thing, and that is it's the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan. Pulaski has been trying to live that down for a long, long, long time. And this article is about one of those stars, one of those points of light. It's called Martin Methodist College. It is our conference college. We support it through our gifts to apportionments. And they have taken a lead with others in the community in order to change the perception of Pulaski from a place that's associated with hate and exclusion to a place that is associated with the loving light that draws people closer together because it draws them closer to God. Art professor there, Bernice Davidson, has done a series of murals on the unsung heroes of that community, the stories that people would not know unless she helped to save them through her visual representations. Ted Brown, president there, done a wonderful job over the years. When he was coming to Martin Methodist and his friends heard that it was in Pulaski, Tennessee, and they knew that one thing about Pulaski, they asked him, why do you want to go and be president of a college in the very backyard of racism? What better place for there to be a star? What better place for there to be a guiding light of some kind? And so we are all called to be those lights. We come to God by the light of those who've gone before us, those who are still with us, and those whose lives may have been extinguished, but their light continues. And so we are called to be that same light for others. Paul believed that the people in Philippi could do that, were doing that. I believe that the people at West End can do that. We are doing that. Not perfectly. They didn't do it perfectly. We won't do it perfectly. But we can do it well. And with God's help, we will. Thanks be to God. We're reminded of our heritage, our story, and we get a chance to tell our story whenever we affirm our faith. So let me invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal and join with me as we tell one of the stories of our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We are grateful that God has called us together for worship today. If you are a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship after the service in Reed Hall through the doors to your right. If you are new to our community, stop by the Bread for the Journey table where you will find information about our ministries as well as a small gift. If you are a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to meet with our student community and eat lunch together in room 322, which is the Fireside Lounge. We gather each week to have faith discussions and fellowship. Please note the gray cards in the pew racks. One side is for any comments or questions for staff or lay leadership, and the reverse side is for any prayer requests you may have. This card may be placed in the offering plate in just a moment. please pass the attendance pad down your row if you have not done so, and when it reaches the end, pass it back down the row and take note of those who are present with us in worship today. Today, we mourn with Trey, Susan, Mary Frances, and Maggie Harrell, who are mourning the death of Trey's grandmother, Frances Allen Harrell, who died at the age of 98 on September 21st in Tallahassee, Florida. Services were held there on Saturday, September 27th. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, you are a God of compassion and love. Time after time we have experienced your care and provision. Time after time you've answered our prayers and met our needs, often in ways we could never have dreamed possible. We praise you for your faithful love toward us. Because we have known your love, we come to you with confidence, offering our prayers for the world that you love. We see so much pain and suffering, so much violence and poverty and despair. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the needs around us. But we continue to bring our prayers to you in faith, because we know that nothing is impossible for you. We pray for the people in our world without food, without water, without shelter, and without hope, because nothing is impossible for you, O God. We pray for the regions of our world caught up in violence and war, for Afghanistan, for Israel and Palestine, for Syria and Libya, for Russia and Ukraine, because nothing is impossible for you, O God. We pray for those affected by the ongoing economic crisis, for the many who remain unemployed, for those who have lost their homes or their businesses, for those whose debts are mounting and who don't know where to turn, because nothing is impossible for you, O God. We pray for those who live with serious illness, those with chronic pain, those without access to proper medical care, those for whom treatment is no longer an option, because nothing is impossible for you, O God. Merciful God, you've called us to love one another, to work together with one heart and mind, balancing our needs with the needs of those around us. Help us to walk in your light this week. Give us courage to follow faithfully and with integrity, with actions that bear witness to the words we speak and worship that overflows into our daily tasks and relationships. Help us to reach out in the light of love to others, to those who still walk in darkness, to those who live in the shadows of poverty and injustice, and to those who need help to see the way. Light up our life, Lord, that we may shine like stars in brilliance, in wonder, but most of all, in love. And now, O God, hear our voices rise together as we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. And now, because we give thanks for all that God has given us, we offer our tithes and our offerings so that God's light might further illuminate our community and our world.
I would like to invite the congregation to be seated as some shining stars make their way to the front to be presented for membership. Going up right here. Want to remind everyone we do have an all-church lunch following the service today. If you didn't make reservations, you're still welcome to come down and join us. We'll have plenty of food. It has a way of working out that way. So if you're hungry at all, it's a great time to meet people you don't know and really further immerse into this wonderful community. Well, allow me to introduce to you our newest candidates for membership. Here, to begin with, we have Erica Miller. Erica is a nurse at Vanderbilt Medical Center, and she's transferring from her home church, United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. I just wanted to be able to say that in the service, Whitefish Bay. Next, we have Chase and Sarah Jane Moore. Chase is an attorney in private practice, and Sarah Jane is an assistant principal at an elementary school. Sarah Jane is coming from the United Methodist Church, and Chase is coming from the Baptist tradition. And then on the end, we have the Fadas. We have Paul and Cynthia Fada. Cynthia is coming from the Catholic tradition, and Paul is transferring from his home Methodist church. Paul is a U.S. Army officer, so we're honored to have him. And Cynthia is a resident in pathology at Vanderbilt Medical Center. We welcome all of you. If you'll turn and face me, we have Chase and Cynthia, who are coming from other traditions. The United Methodist Church honors all Christian baptisms. We believe baptism is God's act, not the act of any one church or tradition. So I ask this question. As members of Christ's Universal Church, Chase and Cynthia, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and its ministries? If you will, say, I will. This is for everyone standing here. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries? By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If you will, say, I will. Great. Will the congregation please stand and join me in welcoming and affirming our newest members? I commend these persons to your love and care. I invite you to get to know them and to do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks to all God for our good leader.
faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Then everything by our name glorified through Jesus Christ.
Friends, may the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be true disciples of Jesus Christ all of our days. Welcome.
Dante, in his Divine Comedy, describes God as that love that moves the sun and other stars. So I send you forth as one of God's stars, moved by God's love to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and all those who have gone before us, a galaxy of stars to help us find our way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.
Oh.